at Sam, I guess. Everyone like heard people at different moments. I was living with Simon. Ben used to come over to the house a lot. Bender had actually met Nate prior to me meeting Bender, and we both, and I met Nate as well, separately to each other, and then we both actually talked about the same person at the house where we ended up jamming a lot. And yeah, it was just this coincidence and, you know, good faith, and that's how it happened.
Melbourne's got a really good music scene, so there's, you know, lots of stuff happening all the time, and it's really easy to connect with other musicians in Melbourne. Because everyone's really open to each other and sort of working on music. And it's not necessarily about sort of pursuing a financial gain, or, you know, like sort of going into that kind of thing. It's more about really sort of connecting with other people.
Creating music.
Yeah, absolutely. And we all were sort of in this area in Melbourne. That's a lot of that kind of stuff was happening, like, and it still is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a really, it's an incredible place. It really is. It's like one of the most like vibrant music scenes in the world, I think. From traveling around a lot, you just sort of really start to understand how important our music scene is in globally.
And have you ever found any place in the world where you think it's kind of a similar vibe?
Not really. Because it's like, it's so unique. There's nowhere else in the world that's like that. It's really young. We haven't got a cultural influence. Like, everyone from all over Australia moves to Melbourne to make music if they really want to make music. Mm-hmm. So you've got this massive collection of musicians that are growing up in their own way, and they come and start to really pursue their career.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, all those elements you just don't really have anywhere else. Everywhere else has got roots.
I thought, like, it used to be, probably, you know, not about the fame. Like,
that's kind of how things start.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same with the jazz scene in the States. Like, that came out of, like, what? Like, that came out of influences from all over the place that made it what it is. And, like, now it doesn't feel like there's that much of that kind of stuff happening, because they have, like, people learn that stuff, and that's their heritage, and that's their lineage, almost.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that they feel inclined to play that kind of music if they're from that specific place.
And there's a lot more musicians as well.
A lot more musicians. The population difference as well is huge. We've been trying to figure this out for a while, I guess, why our scene is the way it's, you know.
That goalie has probably got a really dope underground music.
Yeah, but it's different, though. It's different that everyone in Australia moves to Melbourne. Like,
but everyone in America moves to LA now, and it used to be New York. I guess it's not LA.
I guess LA is kind of different. Like, with New York, it feels like there's just this jazz thing. If you want to pursue a music career,
yeah,
it feels like you're like, maybe it's changing now, but it feels like for a long time it's been inclined to be, learn that kind of stuff.
I think it's just the scenes that we're, you know, introduced to as well. Like, that's the thing, is it's different when you live somewhere versus when you're on tour somewhere, because, you know, like, you know, you have certain promoters and you only get exposed to certain elements of it. You know, like, there's probably, like,
I reckon Glastonbury would have a good scene. Yeah, because I just met those guys and they seem like they're really, like, really switched on musically, and they're just like awesome people. And I was like, oh cool, so you guys are from Glastonbury? And they're like, yeah. And like, look, we do heaps of jams, we have heaps of jams, everyone jams and stuff around here. I'm like, that sounds like normal. That's what
it is. I'm sure that everywhere you have this, it's just what you said. It's like, you have to also spend some time, hang around, be familiar with the locals to actually experience that.
Yeah.
The world has, the world.
I think what is actually amazing in your case is not that you were just jamming together and you were just locally doing the music, that you actually managed to, you know, bring this creativity to a mainstream. I mean, you're not typical mainstream, but something being nominated for Grammy can be still called mainstream. On the other hand, so many artists got influenced by you during your time when you were creating the music. You were influenced by them. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I think you made a really great career from it, and I think that's helped
from, like, you know, our manager and stuff as well. Like, that style, like, our first manager is still managing us, but he approached us after our first gig, I think, and he was friends with Bender, and then he, like, jumped on board, and it was the first band he's managed as well. It's awesome. He went really nuts and had really good ideas about how to get our music out there and stuff, and started pursuing that. He was really fucking awesome, you know, like, really creative manager. Like, he filmed our first film clip and stuff, and edited up the whole thing, and yeah, he's really switched on.
I think the strange thing, though, is that the music is very complex, but somehow it translates, and somehow, like, you know, like, we'll go to a place we've never played before, and people are singing along to really complicated shit, but like there's something in the music that's contagious that they like, they pick up on it, you know. It's like, it's like with Stevie Wonder, for example, like the arrangements are really intelligent, but it's something about it makes it pop and you can sing along to it. But then if you really break down what you're singing along to, it's actually, you know, really quite involved. And it's, I think it comes down to the intention when you're writing it as well, like, you know, because you can, it's so easy to hit, you know, hit or miss the mark, you know. And so I think something about it is in the fact that we're like a four-way collaboration, and once you've refined it to this point where we're all happy with it, it like translates to people because it's been filtered through this like this sense of like unity of ideas. So you may think that it, like, it's schizophrenic, but somehow it's cohesive.
Yeah, that's gonna happen when you got four people that are pouring this into the which is a fucking rarity these days.
Well, like, the way how I see your music, if I may say so, for me it's very organic. There's something very natural about it. I remember I heard you first time on KCRW with Nakamura, your song. I remember I was listening to, I always like to work early in the morning and late in the night, and every time when I heard that song, I was like always so energized. It was really like I would go and take a shower almost, and that's how I remembered it. I was, who is this? And that's how I started looking for your sound. And I think there is this element of people relating to it, probably because there's some honest creativity behind, but it's also very kind of natural. Well, I don't know.
With that particular track, it's also like kind of how it was recorded, because it was recorded live. The energy that we had in the room at a particular time. So, like, that's probably something that really resonates with listening to it, that gives you that kind of thing, because it's capturing something that we're all doing at the same time together.
Definitely. And there's like nervous energy in the room as well, which is good. You know, when you're really comfortable, like, things sound differently.
So why was there a nervous energy?
Because it was the second track
of
played on, like, on drums, like, and I was just like recorded. I was just like, don't speed up, don't slow down, don't do anything wrong, just do it right.
I think it's also, it was one of the first songs I ever wrote, and I wrote it for a friend of mine, and the reason it has such a like jovial element to it is because I was like 17 or something, and it was like, I want to write a song for my best friend. So we've got this like, you know, it's like, it's young, but it's like,
it's very, like the very uplifting.
And like, that's the reason I wrote it, was because it was like, I have this best friend and I'm going to make her day with this song that I write for her. And again, it comes down to the intention in the music, you know, like, you can feel emotion in music, and we're very empathic creatures, and I feel like it's cool that that element was really captured, A, because of that was the context that it was written, but also the next step of like getting together with a band and recording it was also very like new and exciting, and like, and
everything was really exciting at that point.
It was captured.
Love you, I love you, I do. Simon.
This is Bender.
This is Perrin.
And we are Hiatus Coyote, and you're listening to Give Me a Beat.
Give me a beat.
But let's go to your new album, to your second album.
Boring.
I like our second album.
I also like your second album. So, I mean, what's your creative process? I mean, I'm already getting that you really write everything together. And what do you think each person brings to the record or creative process? How does it work? I want to know that.
See, the thing is, like, when we say we write it together, that doesn't necessarily mean we're in a room and we're writing it from scratch together. It's like you...
It's like arranging together.
It's like arranging, and you write different parts. And, like, sometimes I'll bring whole songs to the band, and sometimes it'll just be, like, an idea that will connect with somebody else's idea, and then we, like... create it like that, and it's different for every song, you know, like, or sometimes it'll be from a beat that Pez has made, or off a synth sound, or you know, like, and it can be new or old, like, it can be, every individual has a back catalogue of things that they work on in their own time, and then when it comes to, like, putting it together, it just, it's like filling in the gaps and finding out how A, these individual ideas can be puzzle pieced together, or what can you do to react off somebody's idea?
It's funny sometimes because none of us have, like, efficient... I mean, I guess we, in some circumstances we have some training in like, jazz and stuff from Bender and Maven, but, like, when it comes to, like, if we have an idea and we're like, oh, yeah, it kind of, like, reminds me of this Bollywood thing, like, this Indian kind of rhythm, it's like, let's try and do that, and then, you know, we don't actually have any idea exactly how it goes. It's just totally, like, just doing a gringo version of, like, an Indian, like, a beat, but that's kind of what makes it the fusion of what it is as well, you know. It's like, yeah, cool, like, I've got, like, I remember when we were doing Shaolin Monk on the Funk, it was going to be like an Indian thing, but I was actually transcribed an Arabic rhythm off, like, a Darabuka, and I'm just like, you put it in the same fucking box, and I'm like, yeah, cool. It's just like, it's like, the thing about it now, I'm just like, oh god, it's like, that was so bad. I'm listening to so much Indian music at the moment, I'm like, it's so far from that, but that's kind of what makes it cool.
Yeah, but it was like, inspired by that.
It was inspired by that. Yeah, exactly.
It's okay.
Yeah. A lot of our stuff has that kind of, direction, I guess.
It could be like the tiniest seed, and it's just, it's about like every individual in the band has this like hyperactivity where it's like, this reminds me of this thing. It's like, cool, let's try and do that. And it can be like sound nothing like it, but that just that spark is enough to make it something really original.
swinging it solo. Lines on your palm cry out to be cold. With the steady compass of my home, my constellations burn to be strong to yours. I'm a antidote stone. So drop it to this. So drop it to this. So drop it to this. Oh, I'll be swinging it solo. So drop into this. Honey, help me swim right through this. So drop into this. Oh, I'll be swinging it solo.
Radio Mach ist nicht gratis. Deswegen zahlt doch ein und am Konto 01-60-148-9. Wenig verdienende 60 Franken pro Jahr, die anderen 120 oder mehr. Spenden sind immer willkommen. Einzahlungsschein könnt ihr beziehen unter der Telefonnummer 044-567-2411 oder unter info@lora.ch.
Of all the songs that you did, what was like the most fun song to record? Or is there any like cool story about some of the songs? Because obviously it's kind of like a very interesting process you have when you're creating music.
I guess they're all different processes. Every song's a different process because some of them start as a thing that Nay's written on guitar, and some of them start as a thing that's like started in the studio or from something that Simon's come up with first on keys. So
there was one thing that we did at the Ghost Oak Studios late at night. We've been tracking for a couple of days, and then it got to like 2 a.m. and the engineer went to bed, and we were just kind of sitting in the room, and then Nay sort of started playing this guitar that was
like a pixie guitar.
It's like a pixie guitar. It was like, what
sounded
was it?
Like a pixie
guitar. It's like in a weird tuning with some of the strings.
Nashville
tuning. Yeah. So it's like the some of the strings are like an octave higher than normal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, like a 12-string guitar, you get the really high ones, so but they've strung all of the strings. There's only six strings on it.
Because the middle ones are really high. But yeah, and then we ended up just messing around, and it's a little thing called cicada, which is like a little tiny intellectual.